the Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Good morning, evening, afternoon, whenever you're listening to this. If you're listening live, of course, it's a morning. That's on the Facebook session right now. If you're on the podcast, could be any time. That's that's the convenience, the flexibility of a podcast. That's why they're so popular. And talking about being popular, joining me right now is Nicola Duke, the Duchess of the Chart.
Am I popular? I have no idea why.
Yeah. You're very popular. I've seen some of your tweets.
I know, it's
get
crazy.
A huge amount of response. And
it's very nice. I'm very grateful. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, all right. And we're looking at some charts. We've had some requests. So the ones we're looking at, AsiaMet, Phalanx, FRR, Frontera, that is, GBG, Macango, and RNO. RNO and GBG, I'm not sure where they are. I'll just check them out. RNO is Reynolds, yes,
yeah.
And GBG is GB Group. Oh, I see. Okay. All right, Nicola. Did you see yesterday, which is crazy? I don't want to get all political about guns and all that, but shares in gun manufacturers rose yesterday in America on New York Stock Exchange because, of course, they're worried about the clampdown of regulations on gun control, you know? So what happens is, whenever there's a mass shooting like this in America, people go out and rush and buy guns just in case.
Trump's not going to do that, because that was his base, you know? That they're the NRA people voted for him big time.
And that is base, really base. Get a gun! Buy
that
some more guns!
They were buying silencers as well, I think.
It's just nuts, isn't it, how why this guy did this? It's no explanation as to why he did it, is there? I mean, as yet.
No, he's like a 60-something-year-old retired accountant.
Yeah. Did you watch the video of his brother? Did you see that?
No,
really,
I didn't.
Really odd. His brother didn't react the way I wanted him to react. You know, when you see someone and the lady asks, what would you say to friends and family of people who have been affected? And he didn't really say, he just kept putting his head to his hand, going, boof, mind blown by this. I don't know what, and he's sort of half laughing, I can't believe this. And he's laughing. And I thought, well, mate, this is not the way you react. And
I think that is a shock reaction, though.
Yeah, but I know, but you just want someone to be gutted and really, literally, it's just completely inconsolable. It's like, I can't understand what's happening here. But he was, if his brother, they don't seem very close, but if his brother had no idea why he did this, then ISIS claimed responsibility. I'm thinking, if this guy didn't convert to Islam, that's desperation on behalf of ISIS, isn't it? Because this is a white, middle-aged guy who'd retired. You couldn't be further from being a part of the ISIS group. That's desperation on their side, isn't it?
It is, yeah. They're just trying to get the news.
Just claiming anyway. That says to me you are losing.
That would have been really shocking. That would have been really, really shocking.
Yeah, but if he's nothing to do with them and they've had no commitment, that just shows that they are losing big time.
But they are losing. We've wiped them out of an awful lot of cities.
Yeah.
You know, they really are as big on the internet as they are on the ground now. They're not really an Islamic state except on a corner of the internet.
Yeah. So they're just claiming anyone. You get a truck actually knock someone down, they'll claim it's ridiculous. just have an old person die of old age and they claim they killed them. It's like, nuts, what's going on here? You are desperate. ISIS, you are, withering your popularity and your force. Anyway, let's look at charts. We're not going to discuss politics, even though it slips in every now and again. Sorry. I do try to say let's not try to keep me away from politics anyway. Charts. Let's go with first and foremost AsiaMet Resources, ARS. ARS is the of course ticker, and they've announced today that cracking. It seems like they're swimming there in demineralization, and they've announced drilling expands high grade zinc rich. Polymetallic mineralization, where they're already drilling at BKM in Indonesia there, and I'm just saying copper. Hey, Nicola, copper's the way forward at the moment. I think if you're
copper.
If you haven't got exposure to copper stock, if you're an investor, get some exposure to copper. It's if you look around the world, this mass movement of all governments, pretty much apart from odd countries, to go towards non-petrol, non-diesel, vehicles. Copper is used, but three times as much copper is used in an electric vehicle as a normal vehicle.
Really?
Oh, sorry.
It's normal vehicles, you buy platinum and palladium, don't you?
Yeah, but
those are the two metals that you normally look at for the car industry.
Yeah, I know, but copper was used, about 50 kilograms was used in a normal vehicle, but three times as much as that used in an EV. And with all these governments now around the world saying, copper, and also not only that, the supply isn't there. There's going to be a lot of places that can't, these big copper mines, I think 4 or 5 years, no new big copper mines come on production because of the low price. And so I think the copper price is going to go ballistic in the next 5 years. You know, absolutely ballistic. Anyway.
Well, we're getting a nice dip to buy.
Yeah, so Asia Met Resources here. What do you
think? Asia Met Resources, wedge consolidation, long-term wedge consolidation, really since February. And I'm looking for a breakout of this wedge. We had a 50% pullback of the last rally. That's textbook. Now I want it to continue higher and make a new high. So if we look at the swing lower that we had from 15th of February to the 27th of March, and we measure that, we're looking for where are we going to find a base for this swing lower. So I'm going to measure from that high to the low, and I'm going to project it from the high that we had on the 21st of August. And that said, the support level that we are looking for is at 4.29 or 4.3. So 4.3 and the 200-day moving average, I think if we tag that on this swing lower, that's a massive buy area. I would be very excited to buy there. And I'm looking for, so 4.3 to hold and then a rally higher. And my target is all the way up at 7.2.
Yeah, well, do you know what? If it dips to that low, I'm a buyer of this a bit more. I've got some stock in this. I've had this since 1.5 pence, pretty much. But I bought it on the way up as well. But if it dips, I'm buying more Asia Met. I like the board. Tony Manini, the chairman there, Peter Bird, the CEO. But yeah. Tony Manini, he's done this before in the copper game. He's taken, listen to this, Nick. Tony Manini took, along with some other people, took the last sort of copper play when the last cycle happened. He took it from a 3 million market cap and sold for about 3 to 6 billion, that company. They built up and built up. And he said to me several times on the podcast, this is a time to start investing in copper at the low of the cycle when we're starting to go to production in a couple of years' time. And I think, you know, this is a quality company. It's small. And obviously, you know, the leverage they get towards the copper price will be massive. So if you want to get exposure to a copper company, do your own research. But Asia Met is a good place to start looking at that research, doing your research from.
4.32 is the level to watch for.
Lovely. I'm going to put a limit order in there. Next one is Frontera Resources. They give an update on their well, UD2 well, I think, out there in the Far East. What do you think of Frontera, Nicolas?
Frontera Resources, what a ripper this stock is on. It's doing really well. So I had really big deal fib resistance at 0.74, and we broke above it yesterday. As long as we can hold above it today and find some support there, even though we're really overbought, I think that we continue higher to 0.95, and then my target for this one is 0.14 to 0.16. So those are the fib targets for this one. So 0.95 and 0.16, as long as we hold above 0.74. If we don't, I think that we could see a bit of a correction, potentially back to 0.6 area and that previous swing low to find some support before we go higher again. But for now, overbought or not, I think this continues higher.
Okay, by the way, breaking news, UK construction PMIs, purchasing manager, unexpectedly tumbled to a 14-month low.
God, if we're ever going to build any houses, anyway.
Yeah. Next one is let's try and go in there. Let's go to Phalanx. Sorry, we've got Phalanx there. That's FLX. That's we're trying to stick in alphabetical order-ish.
It's
a cyber security company I've had on the podcast several times, and they look to be going in the right direction. Actually, I quite like Phalanx. I bought them at the low. One of these companies where I sold too early. You know, I bought them, let me just look at the chart. I bought them a ridiculous low. It's one of the things I put a limit order in, and it filled it in one day and then bounced off that low in a day. But I sold, and it was down at around about 4 pence I bought them at. But I sold at about sort of 5.5, something ridiculous. And now they keep rising. I should have bought them again, really, on the dip point of 5.5. Anyway, Phalanx, FLX, what do you reckon, Nicolas?
Very nice uptrend in this stock. So in in September, the start of this month, we got above the 200-day moving average. We pulled the 20-day moving average above it. We went sideways and consolidated. And then as of yesterday, we're pulling away and now on the upswing again. I think that we have some resistance at 9.2. And then we've got resistance at 11.77. But I really like this to continue higher to 15.9, 16 next. That's my long-term target for this stock. Has been for a while.
Lovely. Okay. So GBG is next, or GB Group. What do you reckon on GBG? GBG?
GBG. Yeah. Just let me get this one up.
GBG. Get it up.
This one's in really nice wedge consolidation. Is it a buy now, or do we need to go a little bit lower and tag the 200-day? You know, the 200-day is underneath us, and we've got above it, but we haven't actually tagged it. I think that if we get back above sort of 375, that we'll continue to the top of the wedge, and potentially we continue higher and break out. So sort of 3.75 is the level that I'm looking for. Otherwise, I think potentially we could see one more swing lower and retest the lows down around the sort of 330, 340 and touch that 200-day before we rally. Either way, a really nice uptrend. We should be waiting to buy a dip in this one. It's just consolidating sideways before the next leg higher.
Lovely. Have you mentioned the F word today, Nicola? The old Fibonacci.
A few times, apparently.
Oh, sorry, I didn't pick up on that.
Let me put a Fibonacci on.
No,
the 50% retrace of the lows to highs, and that's where that daily 50 moving average is. So above 373 in GBG, we should continue higher. Above 380 will confirm. That's the Fibonacci level for you.
Okay.
373.
Okay, and the next one is McCangle. McCangle! That's MKA. McCangle Resources. And, I don't know why I say like that. I just like the word McCangle.
McCangle. Okay, so McCangle got above.
Where can McCangle?
Well, it needs to get above, close above 3.6 if it's going to go anywhere. So it's stuck between, you know, it's in a quite a narrow range to decide what it does next. Yeah. Last week, we broke above the 200-day moving average. That's at 3.24, and that's also the August highs. So 3.24 is the support level, the 200-day moving average and the August highs. The resistance level is that stock opening price, and that's at 3.63, and that's also the 38.2 FIP. So to go higher, we've got to get above 3.63. So support is down at 3.24. Below that, we're bearish, and above 3.63, we're bullish. And in between, good luck and expect some chop.
Yeah, it's a bit of a messy one, that, isn't it? Even when the RSI recently, the RSI got up to like 70 odd. It didn't get above 200-day moving average, and I think got above it a little bit, then didn't like it above, then went below. So I'm just thinking, well, it's a little bit above it now, isn't it? But it's like, doesn't make a convincing move above it, so it's a bit messy.
I would like this to go higher. You know, if we can get above 3.63, then 4.08 is the 50% of the high to lows, and we've made a double bottom. So if we can close above 4.08, we go all the way back to the highs at 6. So, you know, we're looking good if we can do that. So above 3.63, 4.08 is the pivot level, and above that we go all the way back to the high highs.
Lovely. All right, so then the last one is RNO, or Renault is this company. Has a market cap of 122. What do they do? I didn't know. I've read about this company before. I can't think of it. You carry on. I fish out what they do. Here we go.
So I'm looking at the Fibonacci levels in this stock. So if I look at the rally from the start of 2016 and the Fib levels, we've made a textbook pullback to the 38.2 retracement, and we've really gone retrace level, sorry, and we've really gone sideways. We've got all the moving averages bunched up here, 200, the day, the 200 day, the 20 and the 50. So a very narrow range and a nice stock to look for a breakout. So a daily close above 54.15 and above that 200 moving average, so I'm going to move it up one, a daily close above, I would say, 54.45 is a bullish breakout, and we can look for a leg higher, and a daily close below 50.95 is a bearish breakdown, and we should look lower to the 50% retrace level, which is at 46.60. So those are the two levels to watch for. Below 50.95, you're wrong, and above 54.50, 54.60, we're on the next leg higher and in an upswing. And until then, really, you know, look, we've done, well, nearly 3 months sideways.
Yeah, well, Reynolds is an international group delivering high-precision, engineered and power transmission products to our customers. But you know what? Sometimes boring companies make nice steady
boring
gains.
Boring companies, yeah, they do.
Yeah, they and do. But they, you know, on their website, they get a picture of like a chain, just, you know, it's a chain going between two sort of cogs. And
you know what? Oh. If only all pullbacks look like this, like this is a really nice, easy to buy, clearly defined range. There must be something here and this 50 level why people are prepared to support it at this price.
Fair play. They're trying to make it look exciting on their website, but they've got products, conveyor chain products, couplings, freewheel clutches, gears, leaf chain. And you think,
anyway,
oh, cool.
So let's go to a weekly chart and see where this one goes if we can break out. And I'm going to show you that this, if we break out, we're above that weekly 50 moving average. We've had one swing high. We're going to continue this uptrend. So let's take this fibs off here. I'm going to put our fibs from the 2015 high to the February 2016 low. And you can see that we'll go back to the top of this golden ratio range at 63.92. And then the next target above that is going to be our 78.6 FIP at 73.63. So really nice gains if we can turn around here. That's a 50% gain if we get to
73.63.
So what's key? That weekly 200, 55, the weekly 200 moving average is at 55. If you get above that rather than sideways underneath it, which we have been doing, then rock and roll. We're on the next leg up.
Yeah, it's not rock and roll for me, but listen, like I said, you know...
Well, no, obviously they make widgets.
So. Warren Buffett prides himself on investing in boring companies. That's how he makes his money, you know? So it's almost like, look for a boring company where they're not going to surprise you with their financial statements because it can surprise the upside and the downside. So look for a company that's consistent, they deliver consistently, and hopefully your returns will be consistent. Lovely, Nicola. It's as always. It's gorgeous to speak to you. You know, I do. My life wouldn't be the same without you. You are the sun at the end of my tunnel. No.
In that way.
Right, that's it for the podcast. And you can see this if you're listening on the podcast. You can see these charts on the video there at Facebook on our page there. Or the best place to go for the podcast and the video is the blog, which is voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. Oh, I wanted you to make that blog sound really sexy, Nick, okay? So next time we said, I just wanted you to go, blog.
Goodbye, Justin. Goodbye.
Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.